I'm Rachid van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 103, for the weekend starting Friday, 4 July 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
Or on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about Telkom's fixed line business.
We also talk about the latest crop of smartphones, the Huawei Ascend P7, the LG G3, and the new budget BlackBerry Z3.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right. First, we need to pay the bills, as always. We'll be back in a moment.
Tired of no internet connection, no line availability, no signal? Then say yah. Say yah to cutting-edge technology. Say yah to satellite internet access. Say yah to high speed. Say yah to always on. Say yah to reliable. Say yah to affordable. Say yah to quick installation. Say yah to YahClick satellite internet access. And you could be saying yah to free hardware and installation. YahClick, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rachid?
How's it, Duncan?
Good, thank you. Looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. I think we're both feeling a bit of pressure after this week has ended. So, yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Lots of stuff happened this week. And I think the highlight of it was probably the dinner we had on Wednesday night with... was it Wednesday night? Or was it Tuesday? Forget now. I think it was Wednesday.
With
some of the top executives from Telkom. Sipho Maseko, the group CEO. Brian Armstrong, the group chief operating officer. And Alfonso Samuels, who looks after the wholesale business. And I think a fascinating three-hour discussion with these executives, all on the record, about where Telkom is going and their imperatives and what they're focusing on. I think it was a really good discussion, and I came away with it probably more positive about Telkom than I've been for some time.
Yeah, it's been really good to get some insights into the heads that run the business, and you know, just to hear them talk about the company and where they're going, it's really reinstilled a lot of confidence for me in the business. And it's good to see that they're trying to be proactive with the things that we are struggling with every day.
And it's good they're being open as well. I think it's great that they're they're saying these are the challenges we're facing. This is what how we're trying to address them. We might not agree with everything they're doing. And I know Arthur Goldstuck from Worldwide Works was at the dinner as well, and he was quite critical of them for their decision every year to push up their line rental in the face of declining fixed lines in service. But it was a good dinner, and I thought it was very useful and open, and I thought some of the discussion we had around the fixed line business and how they're trying to ensure that their fixed line and their retail consumer and their business bases, how they defend that and eventually start to grow that fixed line user number again, the lines in service number, which has been declining for the past 10 or 15 years. But I think they're talking the right things now. This is a telco that until a few years ago was on completely the wrong tack. It was adventuring across Africa and making very big mistakes, particularly up in Nigeria, where it bought Multilinks and got itself into all sorts of trouble. Mm. It's now focusing on its home market, which is what it should have been doing then, shoring up its position in what is rapidly becoming a much more competitive market. The company has in the past tended to behave like a bit of a monopoly, pretended perhaps that competition doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're almost seeing a change Telkom here. I think the new CEO, yes, Sipho Maseko, certainly he's rated by the analysts. The share price has shot up over the last year. And he talks a good game. And I think if he can get half of all right what he's promising to do, then I think Telkom's going to be in a much stronger position than it has been historically. But I don't know what you thought about some of the stuff. Maybe we should talk about the consumer side of things. He was talking about sorting out the legendary customer service problems that Telkom faces. We've seen in the past how the company has just... everyone's got a story to tell about Telkom, right?
Yeah. It was also good to see that they really seem to be taking the fiber to the home market seriously now. I mean, it's still a bit late, but, you know, I love the fact that they're now actually looking at this as a serious rollout for them. And they spoke a little bit about their plans, but, this is a change Telkom. Speaking to the guys, you can actually see that, you know, Telkom managed to appoint the right guys in the right places, I think, and these are the guys certainly to to put the legacy of Telkom behind it.
Yes.
And move forward and you know, just trying to be the company that we all really hope and wish Telkom could be. It still has a long way to go. But, yeah.
Yeah, they're still a very important company in this ecosystem. If they disappeared tomorrow, we'd all be in a lot of trouble.
Yes, yes.
You know, there is no real alternative fixed line player. And they know that, of course, and we've seen them continue to, in many respects, take advantage of that monopoly. But a very important company in the South African context, and it's good to see them talking about doing some of the right things now, about fixing those customer service problems and actually really fixing them and incentivizing staff who deliver on according to customer service metrics, fixing the call centers, you know, doing stuff that's going to make this company more liked amongst its customers.
Yes,
as Sipho Maseko pointed out, I forget exactly what he said, but he said something along the lines of that he was shocked when he discovered just the level of consumer unhappiness in South Africa towards Telkom. And he said they've got a long way to go. They've got a 3-year plan, they're 1 year into that. But I must say, personally, I've already seen, just in my dealings as a consumer with Telkom, I've seen improvements. I had a problem with my ADSL. I phoned them up. They said, you can send an SMS. I thought, oh God, here we go. I sent an SMS expecting to hear something in 3 or 4 days, if I was lucky. Half an hour later, less than probably 15 minutes later, I had a Telkom technician phoning me saying, can I come over right now?
Yeah. When I recently had my line installed when I moved house, the experience was really great. Like you said, they kept you informed. And even from the technician side, I mean, I had many lines installed in my life, and the guys always seem to be a bit dreary. But, you know, it was great to chat to the Telkom technician that came to my house and installed the line. I mean, you can see there's something about the company that's different now. I think it filters down to that level as well. And they seem to be jacked now. What was interesting to me, the conversation we had around why Telkom can't just drop the line rental fee, you know, versus, you know, why do you have to have a line rental fee and an ADSL line as well?
Yeah, there was a very interesting discussion about this, actually prompted by Arthur, and it's something I've been asking Telkom as well for some time. And that says every year we see this decline in the number of fixed lines in service. This year it dropped to 3.6 million from 3.8 million last year. It's a drop of another 5.5%, I think it was. And it's this constant decline over the years. And Telkom's Brian Armstrong, the chief operating officer, said yesterday, claimed at the dinner this week that it's a huge concern for Telkom. But he also said that they can't simply drop their line rental charges because they've got the access line deficit, which he argues. Of course, that's the for listeners who new to the regulatory terminology, it means that Telkom loses a certain amount of money for every line in service based on the recovery just of that line rental charge. And they claim that they weren't able to rebalance their tariff sufficiently back in the 1990s when they had a monopoly because they had other obligations put on them, including rolling out infrastructure into rural areas, which has now almost all been cut off, ironically enough, disconnected, because people couldn't afford to pay for those services. So one wonders why we even bothered having that exclusivity or monopoly period for Telkom in the first place in the 1990s. But be that as it may, I think that that line rental fee has to go up every year to try and address that that access line deficit issue. And they can't simply cut the price. But they seem to be stuck between a rock and a hard place here. They push up a line rental, the number of lines in service goes down. But Brian Armstrong did argue that that decline in fixed lines and service is not correlated directly to the cost of the line rental charge, and that in fact that the decline in the number of fixed lines and service is much more to do with societal issues, particularly also social behaviour, with people substituting fixed lines for mobile.
Yes.
I know I've done that for voice calls. I just don't use the landline anymore. I probably should use a landline because I probably save a little bit of money. But I've got a contract with bundled minutes in, and I just use them, and I just never pick up the Telkom phone, even though there is one here in the office.
It's a barrier to entry.
It's a difficult one. It's difficult to know how do you solve that. I mean, you're pushing up the barrier to entry with that line rental charge, but they've got this access line deficit at the same time. Maybe there needs to be a more aggressive focus on cutting costs.
Don't you think that if broadband access without the line rental, if that becomes slightly more cost effective or it becomes better priced, we may see an uptake in ADSL installations? Because there's a lot of households that don't have internet because they don't want the Telkom line.
I mean, the figures that Brian Armstrong, I thought, were quite interesting, was banding around. He did emphasize that he wasn't 100% sure of the numbers that he was quoting, so just bear that in mind as I quote them back from him. But he was saying that based on sort of current line rental fees, they believe the potential addressable market is 1.2 million ADSL households. There are currently 950,000, of which about 700,000 or 750,000 are home users and the rest small business users. So that's actually pretty high penetration if you believe that the market potential is 1.2 million. He then said that, you know, if we cut the cost of a broadband line to 50 rand a month, the number of potential households goes up to 3 million.
Yes.
But then the question is, can you actually make a profit selling broadband at 50 rand a month to 3 million homes? So it's a difficult one. I think India is a good example of where they've cut ADSL prices significantly. So I think to that sort of 50 rand level, and it's been hugely, hugely successful. But I'm not sure what kind of service you're getting on top of that, whether it's a very limited capped type service with slow speeds, or whether it's a decent broadband service, you know, the sort of 10 meg variety or above that we're starting to get used to in South Africa.
Look, I certainly don't think Telkom has to remove the price completely. We just want to find more value for what we're paying. I mean, a line rental, I don't even have a telephone plugged into my system at home. So maybe there is a balance that needs to be explored. But certainly opening up to a bigger market could alleviate some of the problems.
It could. But I also just came away from that thinking that perhaps the bigger challenge for Telkom is reducing its costs. It's well known the company is well overstaffed. The company is dealing with that. It's going through round after round of voluntary severance. You know, maybe it needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I know it's jobs involved, it's never nice, but you know, if you've got this cost base and you need to reduce that deficit, that access line deficit, then maybe that's the best way to go. Maybe you need to outsource the guys in the street. Maybe they need to go into a separate company, and maybe they need to be incentivized to start their own businesses that service Telkom in that way. Drive out those costs, get those prices down so that we can get our broadband prices in South Africa down to a sort of comparable level to what we see in Europe, North America, and elsewhere.
And that should certainly also, if they do outsource that should also help with the quality of the service. I think it should push it up a bit.
Well, one hopes, with the right service level agreements in place and conditions placed on these companies. Content is another big one that I didn't want to talk about this week. They're obviously not near finishing the plans around delivering video on demand and IPTV type services. That they did emphasize that content is going to form a strategic part of retaining the consumer fixed broadband market. So that's going to be a big focus area.
They did also say that they have been picking up a lot more streaming activity on their lines.
That was interesting. Yeah, they say that's where the big growth is coming from, is in streaming. So I think a lot of South Africans are watching Netflix. Many more than perhaps we suspect. Netflix is a surprisingly good experience, even on a 4 megabit per second connection. Yeah.
They've got a really good content distribution network, and the video scales very well.
Compression is great.
Yes. Especially when you start it up for the first time, you see the pixelated image, and then it buffers. Without buffering, it kind of catches up.
Indeed. And so, I think the consumer angle for me was possibly the most interesting. And Sipho Maseko made the good point. He said, if you're an enterprise customer, a business customer, big spender with Telkom, you're less likely to go and spend those millions of rand with Telkom Business if you're getting a poor experience at home. So they have to fix both sides of it. The enterprise customer is also a consumer customer at the end of the day. And on the enterprise side, they're also it's the same old story we've heard before. They've got to focus more on IT. They've got to move up the value chain. The acquisition of Business Connection is part of that. They're also planning to expand organically in that market, but another key focus here, and I mean that is really Telkom's bread and butter business. Anyway, interesting stuff from Telkom, and we'll be watching the company with great interest this year, especially as the share price keeps going up. I saw it hit over 47 rand this week, which was a new multi-year high. Anyway, let's talk smartphones. There's so many devices coming out at the moment. It's not even Christmas. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what kept us really busy this week.
Let's start with the cheapest of the devices we've looked at, and that's the new BlackBerry Z3. You went to the launch of that yesterday. This is only the second market, if I understand it, after South Africa where this device is.
After Indonesia. Yeah. No, the BlackBerry Z3 launch happened last night. interesting device. It's a five inch BlackBerry smartphone. It kind of follows up from where the Z30 and Z10 left off. Specification wise, it's slightly lower, so it's not the quickest performing device in the market. But it's about 3,000 rand. It's certainly attractive to a prepaid audience and an entry level user that wants to step into the world of smartphones.
Yeah.
It's a great device. I mean, it's a very functional device, and best of all, you can also now load Android applications. Well, I mean, with BB10, you could BlackBerry 10, you can launch Android applications, which I thought was a good deal confirmer for me.
Yeah, so, and you mentioned 3,000 rand. That's the recommended retail price at launch on Vodacom. I'm sure it's going to come out less than that. I've seen on various review sites internationally that it costs in the region of $200. So I'd expect, if I was in the market for one of these, I'd probably shop around a bit and try and find a deal around the 2,500 rand mark.
Yes, yes. And as far as smartphones go, I mean, there's nothing you can't do with a BlackBerry Z3 that you can't do with many other devices on the market. And I think it's going to find a lot of favor with South African users, especially those that had an affinity for BlackBerry devices, a few years ago, or maybe still have those and want to upgrade to something different.
There's a surprising number of BlackBerry users in this market still.
Yeah.
I still amazed when I go to my local shopping center and I just look at what phones people are using, and it's Nokia and BlackBerry, interspersed with a few Samsungs and iPhones.
They seem to last as well. I mean, a lot of people that have them have had them for a long time without, I mean, I haven't had a phone longer than 3 years because it just stops working after a while.
those keyboard-based BlackBerries are as tough as nails.
Yeah, they are. So it'll be interesting to see how people actually take this up versus having a fixed keyboard. I mean, there are other devices coming out over the next few months, maybe towards the end of the year, that will see BlackBerry also bring out a device with a keyboard in it.
Yeah.
But this is certainly the kind of device that I can give to my mom or my dad if they are BlackBerry users, and I would feel comfortable that they would be able to handle the phone as compared to a high-end Android or iPhone device.
The problem with these new BlackBerries, though, is there's no BlackBerry internet service, which was a huge selling point for these devices in the past. Do you think that's going to have a big impact potentially on their sales?
Yeah, I think it could always have. I mean, people got a lot of value for free. But what the MD said to me was that they're trying to work with a lot of operators to bring down, to either have bolt-ons available, data bolt-ons, or to zero-rate BBM services, which I think is going to be the answer to that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, you see a lot of comments on these things, and when people say, well, it's a new BlackBerry, and the first question that comes out of their mouths is, well, does it have BIS? And they say, it doesn't have BIS. Well, I'm not interested. But BIS, I think the consumers need to just realize that BIS is being phased out, and it's going to be pretty much gone soon.
Yeah. Look, it was good while it lasted, and I can see why people loved it. But, the world that we live in now, probably doesn't lend itself so much to having a service like that where people can have all they can eat
daily. Yeah, there was certainly a lot of abuse of it. I mean, we saw the instances. I remember chatting to Peter Ace when he was still running Vodacom, and he gave me some numbers that were quite amazing of how people managed to tether these BlackBerries and use the on-device BIS and download hundreds of gigabytes of data a month.
That certainly ruined the experience for many people, I think.
Yeah.
But look, I don't think it's a deal breaker completely. I mean, like I said, there are some zero-rated services on some operators that users will be able to tap into, which means that their messaging will still be free. Some of the data usage will be free.
Yeah.
And with data prices coming down, it's really becoming more affordable to use data in small capacities on a smartphone. And let's not forget the free Wi-Fi that we are starting to see as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the other two phones I'd like to talk about this week are both Android devices. The first was the launch I went to last week. I think it was last week now already. And that's the new Huawei Ascend P7. This is the follow-up to the P6 that was launched last year. It's a mid-range device, although it looks like a very high-end device. It's they bill it as the thinnest smartphone in the world, and it certainly looks the part. But it's in it, or perhaps a little more mid-range. I've been playing around with one. I must say I'm having a few problems with it. It seems quite erratic in terms of accepting incoming telephone calls, which is a big problem. It's a nice looking device. It's a little underpowered. But for what it is, it sells on Vodacom again for 6,600 rand. I see you get it in the Orange store for just 4,900 rand, which makes me wonder about Vodacom's pricing strategy.
Yeah.
So shop around once again. But yeah, it's a nice device. It's I think it's the best device that Huawei has made to date, and it shows the Chinese are really becoming serious contenders in the smartphone market. In fact, I was playing around briefly with someone's Lenovo 5.5-inch device. I forget what it was called this morning. It was another Chinese company that's better known for making laptops and computers. And a very nice looking phone. So I think the Chinese are starting to get into the space. They're probably not quite as advanced as the Koreans and the Japanese at this point, and even the Taiwanese. HTC, of course, comes from Taiwan. But they're getting there, and I've got no doubt in a couple of years they're going to be up there with the best, producing some of the best phones on the planet. Yeah.
I also think this speaks a lot to the manufacturing capabilities in the Far East that we're seeing now.
Of course, everyone's phones are made in China already. I mean, Apple, LG, Samsung, they're all made in China.
And the form factors, one thing that I've noticed is the form factors are we're heading towards more square shaped, sharper corners on the phone,
which I don't like.
Yes, yeah. So it feels a bit rough in the hand.
It's the all the Lumias have square corners, yes, and I don't like it because when I hold these devices in my hand, especially on the bigger devices, it cuts into the palm of my hand. It presses. It's not pleasant. Rounded corners, which Samsung thankfully still sticks to, I found much more pleasant, especially on the larger screen devices. If it was a small device like an iPhone, then sure, no problem. But on these large 5.5-inch phones, I think square corners is a bad design decision.
It's a trend. I think we will always see these kind of design trends, and it'll probably fade out as people start moaning about it. But, yeah.
Anyway, the third phone we want to talk about this week, and it's in fact a phone that I have in my grubby little paws right here because I bought one from the Orange Store. It's the new LG G3, which many news outlets and reviewers have suggested could be the device of the year, or certainly the Android device of the year. And literally had an hour to play with it, or even less than an hour to play with it before we recorded the show this afternoon. But first impressions, very, very good. Almost edge-to-edge screen. Yes. Largest screen to bezel I've seen on a device. Screen quality, there's a lot of debate about whether you'd notice the difference between let's call it an Apple Retina type display and a much higher resolution screen. This thing has got a resolution, I think, of 2560 by 1440. 2K resolution screen, and Rafat, you had a look at it as well, and you can very clearly see the difference between a 1080p screen and this much higher resolution.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it looks very buttery as you touch it and scroll it, and the
the user experience is so snappy. It's a Snapdragon 801 processor. Impressive so far, and what I like about it is that LG hasn't layered it with their own skin overlay. It has its own overlay on there, but it's been very gentle with it, and it looks very much like a KitKat as Google intended it.
Yes, yes. I think manufacturers are now starting to realize that for high end devices like that, people don't want any frills and additional bells and whistles. You know, they just want vanilla Android, powerful device, everything else they will customize themselves.
Yeah. So we'll have a review of the LG G3 hopefully up in the next week or so. So first impressions, very, very positive. The device goes on sale in South Africa sometime in August. They're having the official launch, I think, on the 17th of this month, 17th of July. Mm-hmm. We'll have a review up early, since we have an early access to one of these phones. Good. I have to concur with most of the international reviewers who've raved about it. It looks very good.
And I think it's going to, with Android L coming out later this year, it'll be another boost for the device.
Absolutely.
With added capabilities.
Presuming LG can get Android L onto it quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I mean,
I'm going to root it and put Android L on it myself.
There's always that option.
For sure. Anyway, cool. I think we need to move on to our regular features of the week. And the first one we always look at is our winner and loser of the week. And do you want to pick up this week's winner?
Yeah, I met with Microsoft South Africa's new MD, Zahir Boussin, did a profile piece, something that you can read on Tech Central right now. But what a great guy. I really had a chance to sit down with him and understand who he is, where he came from, and what drives him. And he's been in the technology, South African technology space, for close on 22, 23 years.
Ex-IBM, right?
Ex-IBM, yes. He jokingly said to me that he only made one career move in his life, and that was moving from IBM to Microsoft, and that certainly was the case. He's moved around within IBM over the 22 years that he was there. But, a really humble guy, And you, with somebody like that at the helm, you can see Microsoft's got a very bright future. He understands the industry. He understands, I think, where he needs to take Microsoft. And he's got a tenacity for problem solving, like he says. You know, he enjoys taking a business problem and coming, okay, figuring out what the solution is.
Cool. Well, he's an ex-Durban boy like me, and he listens to classic rock like me, so what's not to like?
No, definitely. I think keep an eye on him. I think we're going to see some good things from Microsoft. Well,
congrats to Zoab Hussein for his promotion to MD of Microsoft South Africa. He's our winner of the week and our loser of the week, and I think we've picked him as a loser before, if I'm not mistaken. But he certainly put his hand up, and he was the obvious person to choose. I think it's easy to guess who we're going to pick this week.
Yeah.
And that's none other than Mr. Claudio Motsoeneng, the acting group chief operating officer of the SABC, for his pretty brainless remarks this week about journalists needing to be licensed, in his view. Sort of thing that we'd expect in totalitarian states and places like Zimbabwe rather than democracies like South Africa. And maybe we suggest to Mr. Motsoeneng that he goes and reads up on his constitution.
Definitely.
Cool. Apple product of the week time. What have you got, Richard?
Well, my pick is something that's not particularly brand new, but it's helped me so much this week. It's an app called TeamViewer, and it essentially allows you to remote desktop into another machine without messing too much with the operating system or any other software. And I use this application with great success to troubleshoot my mom's PC down in Cape Town. I mean, I can't get there often enough. And anybody that's tech savvy knows how much your family relies on you to solve their problems when it comes to PCs. So install the application remote. Well, I asked her to install the application from her side. And what it does is basically with the app installed on both machines, it generates a number and a password for you on the receiving side that you just enter into the machine that you want to connect from. And the connection is established. Very smooth, obviously, depending on the bandwidth, it could be a bit jittery. But it manages to scale down the graphics so that all the important stuff comes to the front without all the images and the background pictures. And it works really well. I was able to solve her problem and back up some of her files for her. And yeah, that's certainly my pick of the week. If anybody else wants to, or even logging into a home machine from work, if you want to, start your torrents or monitor something happening at home, if you have some webcams up, TeamViewer, that's certainly the application to get.
Sounds pretty cool. Is it free?
It is free. And you can, there is a paid for option, obviously, but the free version works very well. And I'm connecting from a MacBook to a Windows machine, so you know it's
platform agnostic. And you were able to do everything you need to do on your mom's computer without paying for the service.
Yeah, no, it's okay. A free service. Obviously, okay, if you pay for the service, you get some more features. But like I said, the free version is certainly sufficient for most things that we want to use.
So it's TeamViewer. Who develops it?
That's a good question. I'll have to see.
Okay, well, we'll add that to the show notes after the show. My pick this week, I'm not going to spend much time on it because I've already spoken quite a bit about it, and that has to be the LG G3, which I'm currently sitting here drooling over. And I think we're going to wrap up the podcast pretty quickly because I want to get back to it. So next week then, as always, if you want to drop a comment on the show, we'd really appreciate it. Our email address for that is info@techcentral.co.za. So until next time, from Richard and myself, have a great weekend and take care. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.